So today we're going to be chatting a little bit about the implementation of Iowa's anti-bullying legislation, specifically as it applied to schools. We're lucky enough to have the PI of this study in here, Dr. Marizan Ramirez, and the study was funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation through the Public Health Law Research Program. I have no relationships to disclose. So just to give you a little bit of an outline of where we're going to be going today, I'm going to start by telling you a little bit about Iowa's anti-bullying legislation. I'll move into the methods of our evaluation of the legislation, and then follow up with the school implementation of that legislation, which is really the meat of this presentation, and then wrap up with the next steps and where we think that we can go next with this line of research. So a large proportion of students in Iowa, and actually across the nation, are bullied. But what do I mean when I say they're bullied? So there's several components that bullying has to have. It's not kids being kids, as we often hear. It's not a single incident where a kid is mean. It has to be peer on peer. So this is not adult to child. This is not child adult. It has to be aggression, although it doesn't have to be aggression in the form that we normally think physical. It can include psychological bullying. It can include verbal bullying. Also, cyberbullying is something that we're coming across more frequently recently. It has to have an element of a repeated nature. So this isn't a one-time occurrence that happens. It's something that happens repeatedly over time. And finally, there has to be some element of power differential. So it can be a situation where it may be a race, it may be ethnicity, it may be an invisible power differential, mental health, something like that. But there has to be between the victim and the perpetrator some sort of power differential. So in response to awareness of bullying in schools and across the nation, Iowa and many other states in the United States have passed an anti-bullying code. So these vary a lot in both what they contain and also the quality of them, but Iowa is focused on three main requirements. So schools, and this was focused primarily on schools, but the schools had to develop a policy, and that policy had to have three main components. It had to define what bullying is. There had to be procedures for reporting and also conducting investigations, and there had to be some form of accountability. So it wasn't enough for them to just develop this policy. Schools then had to implement this policy, and there was a specific timeline there. They were also required to collect data on how they were doing with anti-bullying measures. And finally, they needed to raise awareness through dissemination. You can see that they were not required to provide training on their policy or their prevention, but it was recommended by the code. So, because we know that law doesn't happen in a vacuum, we decided to focus on the implementation of this law. So, where do we go from here is the law as it was written to the health outcomes? So, the first thing that we'll be focusing on, and the topic of today's talk, is to what extent have schools implemented the requirements and the recommendations of Iowa's anti-bullying law? The follow-up study that we're still working on is to what extent is Iowa's law effective at actually reducing rates of bullying victimization, and does implementation of that in schools have an impact on that reduction in rates? So we did a mixed method study here. We started with the Iowa law and those main components, these three, the developing the policy, the implementation, the awareness, are the required elements. We then took those elements of the law and used that to inform our qualitative interviews. So we did case studies with middle schools across Iowa. We focused specifically on middle schools because bullying rates tend to peak in around the middle school age and then drop off after into high school. So the qualitative phase was really intended to provide context for our quantitative results. We did an administrator survey with administrators across the state of Iowa. And so the qualitative interviews tell us that rich, the hows, the whys, that we're not able to get through the quantitative interviews, or the quantitative surveys. So we really had kind of two separate studies going at the same time. The first is the case studies. We did a stratified random sample to identify our case studies because Iowa is not a terrifically large state, but there are pretty significant differences as far as where you are located geographically. There's also pretty substantial differences, although we aren't a terrifically rural state, terrifically urban state. We do have some urban areas and a lot of rural areas. So we wanted to make sure that we were capturing the diversity of the experiences that students and schools would have. We conducted interviews with both school and district administrators. Whenever possible, we tried to get a dyad, so we had both the school and the district administrator. It wasn't possible in all cases, unfortunately. So our survey, we invited administrators from 505 Iowa schools with middle school grades. You'll note I didn't say middle schools because in Iowa we have some schools that are so small, we actually incorporate the middle schools into the high schools or the middle schools into the elementary schools. And so we wanted to make sure that we were also capturing students in those areas. We started with an online administration. We sent a series of emails, and we actually received terrific support from the director of the Iowa Department of Education. He sent an email out for us, and our participation rate grew exponentially after that email went out. So if you didn't respond to either our emails or the director's emails, we also sent you a paper copy. So it was a pretty intense data collection process. So we collected several different things as part of that survey, but today we'll be talking about the implementation measure. That was a 14-item measure that measured how well school administrators felt they were successful. Scale of 1 to 10, 10 was a very successful implementation. And we focused on those 9 required elements, the 2 recommended elements, and then we also thought it was important to measure how schools access resources to support their anti-bullying efforts. So I'll present those individually, but then I've also created summed measures. So we took the overall score and the subscale scores and converted that to a percentage out of total points. So you get an idea if you're a 0, that means you felt like you did really very poorly. 100 indicates that you did really well. You think you are perfect on every element of the law. So for our qualitative sample, we did 45 total interviews, and I don't know if anyone has ever done qualitative methods, but this is an immense amount of data. It took a really, really long time to get those transcribed, took a long time to get them done and then transcribed, so we are very happy with the level of data that we were able to collect there. And actually 20 completed dyads were done, so 40 of those 45 interviews actually have both the school and the district administrator, and so we're able to explore differences in the perceptions of implementation. The quantitative sample, we ended up with about 218 administrators out of the 505, which is about 43% response rate. Again, that is a phenomenal response rate out of schools because school administrators are very busy. I will share that we only got 8 respondents to our first email, and we went, oh no, what are we going to do? But after that director email, it shot up. So we were able to round out with a really great response rate. Of those, about 90% were principals. The remainder were other administrative faculty or staff, assistant principals, deans, and counselors. And you can see from our rather beautiful map that we had a really great distribution across the state of Iowa. These red stars here indicate that we completed a qualitative interview. And so we feel like our stratified random sample was quite successful because we have areas across the state of Iowa, but we also have a great distribution of the urban areas here and some of the more rural areas. The yellow stars indicate that a quantitative survey was completed, and so you can see that we reached nearly every county in Iowa at least once. So overall, we were very pleased with the response to our interviews and our surveys. So the part that everyone is interested in, how did schools implement this policy? So overall, 98.2% of schools had an anti-bullying policy, which is great, although we'd love to have that at 100 because it is absolutely a requirement of the Iowa law. So on these graphs here, this indicates the administrator response. So on the meeting the 2007 timeline, goes from a 1 to a 10. 1 indicates not successful at all. 10 indicates they felt like they were very successful. The black line here indicates the range. So for meeting the 2007 timeline, we had at least one administrator who felt like they were a 1 out of 10. This gold box here indicates the second quartile, so that ranged from a 7 to a 9. The intersection here of the yellow and the red indicates the median, and then the third quartile is in red. So you can see overall school administrators reported being highly successful on meeting the 2007 timeline, on developing their policy, on developing their process for handling incidents, and maybe a little bit less successful but still highly successful at developing their reporting system. So our qualitative interviews are able to give us a little bit more context. So we now know that 98.2% of schools have a policy. Let's learn a little bit more about how they develop that policy. So the Iowa Association of School Boards provided a model policy, and what we weren't anticipating is that Many, many schools, nearly all schools, just adopted that policy. There were a few schools that modified the model policy. One, for example, decided to include sexual orientation as a protected class. And you can see that they did that for a couple reasons. One, they wanted to protect themselves from lawsuits. But two, they felt like it was the right thing to do. They wanted to be inclusive, and it was part of making a statement. So we know now that administrators felt overall pretty successful in developing their policy. Here you can see that they overall were pretty successful in implementing those policies and practices also. You can see that median scores of 9 on handling complaints and conducting investigations, a little bit less successful on creating remedial plans with a median score of 7, and we heard that reflected in our qualitative interviews also. They felt like they were good on, we have this set process for what to do, but we don't know what to do once bullying has been founded. What do we do with this bully? Also, what do we do with this victim? And overall, median score of 8, pretty successful on maintaining their reporting system. We did learn that there were several challenges, several specific challenges that came up across the board, and a couple facilitating factors. One of the challenges was how to define bullying. So you heard me define bullying, and it sounds pretty black and white right now. But when you get students and you get, you know, the dynamics and he said, she said, it becomes really hard for not only administrators to define bullying, but we also have kids that don't know what bullying is, and we have parents that don't really know how to define bullying. So on the one end, a parent may say, someone was mean to my child, they're being bullied. On the other end, we have parents who say, you know, my kid's not a bully, it doesn't matter what they did, this isn't bullying. So school districts reported that it was really hard to define, and that's unfortunately a really key step to implementing this type of policy. We learned that cyberbullying was also a challenge for administrators, in part because they're not middle school students, and so they don't know the social media that middle school students are using, and so it's hard to keep up there. But they also don't really know what their role is. So if cyberbullying occurs completely at home, completely outside of school, what responsibility do they have to address that? They overall told us that once it comes into school, they recognize their responsibility, but there's that gray area in, you know, it's outside of school, it may be slightly impacting school, so what is their responsibility? We learned that having supportive communities was really a facilitator to implementing anti-bullying practices and policies. So if we have a community, and by community I mean the parents, the teachers, the students, the community overall, really aligned as far as how they define bullying, what they think needs to be done about bullying, it was much easier for administrators to implement these policies and practices. So overall implementation, a couple bumps, but they felt like it was overall pretty successful. We see now on raising awareness, they felt maybe a little less successful. So training students and staff are recommended elements, but again, not required elements of the law. And we can see that they're a little less successful than they were on the earlier required elements of the law. Disseminating policy just a tick higher at a median score of 8. And again, that was one of the required elements of the law. So we see that several issues came up as far as how to disseminate and raise awareness of their policy. The first is that administrators recognize that their staff need continuing education, but they don't know how best to provide that education. How frequently should they be providing it? How to make it meaningful? They wanted to do more than hand the handbook and say, look, here's our anti-bullying policy, follow it. But they overall didn't know how to do that and how to make it successful for the teachers and the staff. They also reported, and I alluded to this a little bit earlier with the definition, the parents in the community don't really know what bullying is, and so they have a really hard time addressing bullying because the community and the parents don't come to the issue on the same page as the administrators. You can also see here that administrators feel like there's not a lot of good evidence-based strategies, and so that's echoed time and time again that schools don't know what evidence base there is or if there is an evidence base. And you can see that schools overall reported, or administrators overall reported, being least successful in accessing resources. These are the lowest scores we saw overall. They felt like median score of 6 on accessing resources from their district, and also from the area education associations, which are state-run agencies that help provide support to schools. And actually, the lowest median score overall was receiving resources from the Department of Education. And so this is an area where we know that the Department of Education is trying to provide resources, but there seems to be a disconnect between what they're providing and what schools are perceiving to be available to them. So we recognize this is an area for opportunity in helping schools and the Department of Education kind of bridge that gap. So I had touched on this already, but schools really recognize that there was a lack of evidence-based resources, and they so then are unsure how to proceed in these complex situations. There is also, unsurprisingly, a lack of funding for anti-bullying activities. But I think it's especially profound when we have an administrator who's saying, I have to decide between hiring an English teacher and doing an anti-bullying program. And that would be an awful position to put a school in, and I would guess that the anti-bullying program would lose quite often. So when we look at overall how successful schools were at implementing the legislation, again, remember this is a 0 indicates they answered a 1 to every single question on the scale. A 10 is that they answered a or 100 is they answered a 10 to every single question on the scale. So there's a substantial range. So we have overall schools who think that they are at about a 25, which indicates that they're really struggling with implementing this legislation. You know, with a median score of 75 or so, there is definitely room to still improve for schools. You can see that the required elements had the highest scores, which may indicate that if the legislature wants something done, they need to make it required rather than recommended. So recommended elements a little bit lower, and then resource acquisition overall the lowest. So what are the strengths of the legislation? Administrators across the board recognize that it's important. Bullying is happening, and so they need to be able to take a stand against bullying, and legislation gives them the responsibility and also the right to address it. But what do we do now? So we have some knowledge that schools are struggling to a certain degree with implementing parts of the law. And especially as public health practitioners and researchers, we need to be aware that there needs to be a pool of evidence-based programs and processes for these schools, but it's not enough that we have the evidence base. We need to be disseminating this to schools. We need to be providing technical assistance to schools. Schools need to be brought into the loop that we have as public health researchers and practitioners. And finally, and the next step of our project, is to evaluate the impact of the legislation. So it's all well and good to implement legislation, but it's really meaningless unless the legislation and the implementation result in reduced bullying behaviors. I've alluded to already that we had a really great relationship with the Iowa Department of Education. We also had really great support from the Department of Public Health, the Department of Human Rights, and Blank Children's Hospital, and we had quite a comprehensive research team that was able to accomplish this research in a really very short amount of time. So, with that, should I open for questions, or do we...
I think we'll take questions.
Okay. All right. Perfect.
Great. Thank you.
And I want to take just a second to acknowledge that this is actually a law section session. And last night we had our awards banquet, and Dr. Ramirez and her colleague here received actually the award for the highest ranked abstract in the law section nomination. So just wanted to again acknowledge them for that. And also thank you for your patience. We had a little... couple things going on up here, so I didn't really was a little disorganized. I am trying to do very short introductions because I do want to make sure everybody gets an opportunity to speak, but please take a look. I think that actually if you go online, you can see everybody's bios, and we are very, very pleased to have everyone here with us today.